Morning to each this morning. Greet you in the precious name of Jesus, the one who heals today like he did in the Bible times. Otherwise, I would not be here because I was sick, very sick. And for those who aren't here, those who are listening on the phone that are sick, or those who are here that are half sick, I pray that God will grant you healing as he has healed me this past week. I spent, 3 days running fever. And running fever along with having made commitments that you would have certain projects done by Christmas, and Christmas has never came so fast in my life. And knowing I had to preach, and not sure what I'm supposed to preach about, this verse came into my mind about the third day of running fever, all is vanity and vexation of spirit, including the foolishness of preaching. But I wasn't sure how to make a sermon out of that, but praise God, he made me better. And I feel better this morning. This morning I'm inspired to preach to you, Jesus, the light of the world. And that's my title this morning. Jesus, the light of the world. I've been recently reading through the book of John. And John refers to Jesus in John chapter 1. And we'll turn to that eventually. It's not where I'm going to start. I'm going to start actually in some of the prophecies. But John referred to Jesus as light. And then Jesus says later on in the book of John about, I am the light of the world. And I began to think about the fact that Jesus is the light and how light is so important to mankind. We just would not think of going somewhere without light. Light is a part of mankind. And I was going to read in Genesis, but Travis read that this morning. So my sermon was going to be kind of short. It just got a little shorter. So you might want to keep the fellowship mill stepping. But this morning, it became when I was thinking about Jesus and the fact that light, and Jesus is light, and how important light is to all of humanity, why wouldn't Jesus call himself the light? It's something that we need. It's something that, it's the only way we get around. It's the only way to make it through life. Ever since the fall of man, of course, when God created man, he created this perfect man, this perfect being in this perfect world, and he created him to work. Sometime I'm going to preach on why work, but I decided that wasn't a good one for this morning. But he created this man and this lady. They were perfect. And then they fell and they had this relationship. And this darkness settled in upon them. And all through the Old Testament, you kind of feel this darkness. And then we have prophets. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, where Isaiah prophesies that there's going to be a light. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And it says this, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And suddenly the prophet started to say, there's going to be a time when there's going to be a light. This darkness is going to come to an end. And now we can turn back to the New Testament. We have Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Turn back to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to go there next. Luke chapter 1, we have Zacharias. We know that he was told he was going to have a son, and he didn't believe, and so he couldn't talk. And we get down there closer to the end of the chapter, and his son was born, and they said, what are we going to name him? And Zacharias was already told what he was supposed to name the child. And so they went to Zacharias, and Zacharias wrote that his name is John. And then he was able to talk, and we have in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And then he talks about his son John here. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God. And then it switches and talks about Jesus, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Again, we have this proclamation that this child that was to be born was going to be light and was going to provide light. Turn on over to Luke chapter 2. We have this man, Simeon, in the temple. And I believe Peter referred to him maybe in the Sunday school. But turn over and we have whenever Jesus was born, they took him to the temple. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's child. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This man, Simeon, realized when he took that baby in his arms that he was holding a light. And I think about the few amount of people that lived in the darkness before Jesus was. And they were there when Jesus was born, and they watched Jesus' life. I don't believe Simeon lived till Jesus was crucified, but he lived in that time where he knew there was going to be something. There was a darkness that was going to, he had this feeling that there was going to be a light that could take away the darkness. And when he held this little baby, he says, this is it. I'm convinced that this is the light. Now, all of us know what it's like to walk in darkness, spiritual darkness. But whenever we decided that we wanted to walk in the light was already available. And when I was thinking about Jesus being the light and the people that were waiting for this light, how that they had this darkness inside them that they just couldn't, there was just nothing quite there that could take that away. But they realized it, and Simeon realized it here. So now I want to take, for the remainder of the service, I want to take a few points and consider what light does for us in a natural sense that the light of Jesus does for us in a spiritual sense. Point number one is, light helps us to see where we are walking. Turn on back to John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, another interesting thing I'm just going to point out, and that is that Simeon says that when he held this little baby, he said, here is a light to lighten the Gentiles. And when you go over to chapter 8, Jesus says in chapter 8, verse 12, John 8, I'm sorry, I might have said Luke. That's where I went. You got to go to John. John chapter 8. Jesus says this. He didn't say, I am a light. He says, I am the light. And that's significant, the fact that Jesus is the light. He is the only light. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. And I think about that there's a huge difference between walking in darkness and walking in the light. And We were created in a world of light. And that's not surprising because God is light. 1 John 1, verse 4 and 5 says this. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. God is light. There's no darkness with God. And go back and Travis read that in Genesis 1 this morning. And I was going to read verses 1 to 5, and I won't do it, because he read about how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, but the first thing that God created was light. Now, Travis said this morning that was the sun. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I'm not sure, because it doesn't say about him creating the lights and the actual things that kind of make the light till later on in verses 14 to 18. It says in 1 to 5 that when God came unto the earth and he formed it, and God said, first thing is, let there be light, because where God is light. And for him to be, to make something and not have light involved is just not God. So he created light, and then we go on down where it says that he created the the things in the sky for the times and the seasons. And Travis touched on that as well. And I was thinking about it some more. And the fact that for times and seasons, if all you had was light today and dark tonight and light tomorrow and dark the next day, there would be no way to track time. Because there would be none of those little instruments. There would be no way for the sun. We watch the sun go across. And we know if the sun's a certain spot in the sky, it's wintertime or it's summertime. And all those things God created. So I believe that God created light first. And then maybe as an afterthought, sometimes we talk about people doing things on the fly. And I think God always has a plan. But in a way, he could just say, oh, you know, we have light, but I'm going to create man. And man's going to be conscious of time. So I'm going to have little things in the sky to make him understand how many days it is now. Because after you go 1, 2, 3 and nothing changes, you don't know if you're at 4 or 5. It's nice to go back and say, oh, something moved. I know that now I was at 4. So just interesting about God and his creation of light. And he created man in his own image. So we as human beings latched right onto that thing that we need light. In fact, we have decided that God didn't actually provide enough light. So about 25 to 40% of our day right now is artificial light. And when I thought about that, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because it clicks with me, and sometimes I'm just too blunt. But we hear a lot about artificial foods and how that's so bad for you. And I thought, I wonder if there's any harm in artificial lights. I wonder if anybody ever thought about that, but it'd be really hard to make money telling people to turn the lights off. But maybe it would be good. Maybe I wouldn't have got so sick this past week if I would have just not keep the lights on so long and keep working. I mean, does God actually intend, when God created the world, he created it perfect. He created so many hours of sunlight, so many hours of darkness. Have we messed it up? Just a thought. But I'd like for you to imagine a little bit this morning, a world without light. And we can't imagine that. We can't imagine living in a world without light. We just, it's not, I mean, no sun, no stars, no artificial lights, no fireflies. In the cave experience with the lights turned off, it's just black. And we say, we need light. The Egyptians experienced that kind of darkness for 3 whole days. And when you go back and read about the plagues, it says they had this darkness that came across them, and the Egyptians just sat there. They didn't move anywhere, because without light, you can't move. There's nowhere to go. You can't see a thing. We think when it's dark outside, but there's always this little ray of light that's coming from somewhere. No one here has been blind, but I think about the people in the Babel towns that Jesus healed that were blind, especially that man that was blind from birth in John chapter 9. And Jesus came to him and smeared that mud on his eyes, told him to go wash, and that man did just that. He went there and he washed his eyes, and he could see, and he was just overjoyed because it was dark. And he touched Jesus, the light, and he became able to see, and it was a completely different experience. He was in the light. And he was so overjoyed, he went around telling people, and then he became under this severe criticism of people and said, well, where is this man at? Who healed you? Was he a sinner? And this man became frustrated because he had the light now and he could see. And he became frustrated, and he finally looked at him and he says, I don't even care. I don't care if he was a sinner. I don't care what he was. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. Light. He didn't care what the people were saying. His thing was that he was in darkness, and he was sitting there, and he couldn't see, and now he was light. Light is so important to mankind. If we suddenly lost our sight, we'd find out how important it is. Most of us here know, have the experience of walking in the dark, whether it's tending your own personal needs or the needs of your children at night. We stumble through the house, and we bump into things. It's just, you stub your toes. It just all happens, and I'm a man that doesn't like extra light at night, so we don't have any of those lights hanging on the end of the house to light the driveway all night long. So when I leave for work in the morning, I open the door, and it takes just a little bit of time for your eyes to adjust from the light of the house to the dark outside to get to my truck. So those first couple steps are pretty not very able to see. And I've stumbled down the steps and bumped into a tricycle, tripped across a tricycle. Well, there's better ways for your children to get you to remember them in the mornings. But we need light to see. It's dark. And we need light. We are built with light. We need to see. Well, Jesus says in this verse, that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. If you want to walk in the light, you need Jesus. And Jesus says, I am that light. There is no need for us to stumble through life, bumping into things that do us harm. There's no need for us to stumble through life, wondering what's coming next. There's no need for us to stumble through life, getting lost and going the wrong direction. If we have Jesus, he is that light. And that light will shine into our hearts, and it will shine and light every step of our path. We will know when we have failed. We will know when we have taken a wrong turn. The light of Jesus will light. Second thing I want to look at is darkness cannot overtake light. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and we understand that the Word was Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that's interesting that Jesus was there at creation. This is confirming that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. And if I understand the meaning of comprehended, it means this, in that the darkness cannot overtake it or put it out. It doesn't matter how dark it is in a room. It doesn't matter how dark it is in a cave. It doesn't matter how dark the night is. But if there's any amount of light, it can be seen. Even though it's very, very small, it can be seen. It doesn't matter how dark the world is this morning. It doesn't matter how much darkness is in your life. If you have Jesus, there will be a light. I can promise you that. Point number three, light changes our outlook on life. I'm one that likes light, not when I'm trying to sleep, but I am one that likes light. And I already made it clear with Justin, when I come to his house, he has dimmer switches on his living room lights. When I come to his house, turn the living room dim lights up. I like it light when I'm sitting around visiting. Last Sunday, I was at a relative's place for family gathering, and we sitting around in his house, and it was dreary, and the lights were half on, and you started to get tired, and your thoughts, and you just start to get depressed, and it's like, I finally said, turn the lights on. Light changes our outlook on life. It does. I don't believe there's many here that would disagree with me that at night things look much bigger than during the day. You lay awake at night and you think about things and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and they become out of proportion. Have a conversation with somebody after 3 days of solid rain and there's not much joy to talk about. Light affects their outlook on life. Our perspectives change. This morning, the light that Jesus provides helps us to view our problems in a proper perspective. Our problems may seem huge, but the light that Jesus provides will put our problems in a perspective that we can handle. Jesus, the light that Jesus provides is sure to give us light to meet the needs in any situation so we can properly face our problems. Brings me to the fourth point, that there is no substitute for light. We continue reading here in John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There is no substitute for the true light. John was a powerful man. John was a speaker. He moved many people. He called many people to repentance. You can read about it. But he was not that light. Light in this world is produced many ways. And when we're in the dark, there's many devices we can go to that we know provide light, and they will provide light, but there is no substitute for light. If you're in the dark, you will get a flashlight, a pliers, a screwdriver, a hammer. None of them will provide light. It just doesn't work. This morning, Jesus is the only light. There is no other man. There's no other means. There's no other way around to get rid of the darkness in your heart, to get rid of the darkness in the world. There is no other way. Jesus is the only light. There is no substitute for light. There was no other person before him, and there is no other coming after him that would be able to provide the light that mankind needs. Brings me to the fifth point. Light is available to all mankind. John chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 8 again. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The natural light of the sun is available to all mankind. I believe for every person, for every being in the world, they have had somewhere in their life the opportunity, or will have yet the opportunity, to step out into the sunlight. The light of the world is also available for all mankind. Turn on back to John chapter 12. These are the words of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 35-36. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Jumping on down to verse 44-46. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I think I'll cease reading there. The light of Jesus is available for all mankind. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter whether you were born man or woman. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter how your parents treated you or what they did or didn't do for you and I. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what we did or didn't do. If we believe on Jesus, believe in his ability to set us free from our sins, believe in his ability to have our sins forgiven, we can and will have the light. He says this, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. It's all it takes, Jesus. And the fact that we believe in him. Everyone here has the opportunity this morning to step out of the darkness into his marvelous sunshine. But there will be those who choose not. Point number 6, light exposes things that are hidden. If you're looking for something and you get a light, often light will reveal what we're looking for, and sometimes along with that, it will reveal some things we're not looking for. Turn back to John chapter 3. Here we have Jesus explaining to Nicodemus the reason he was here. And he says this. I'm going to break in here at verse 16, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here again we have the fact that it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what you've done, but whosoever believeth in him will not perish. Then verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, and they are wrought in God. The light of Jesus will expose what is going on in our hearts. Now, I was reminded of that recently when I was speaking with a man. I had a conversation with him before I met him. He had a foul mouth. And I told the fellows I worked with, that man needs the Lord. And I met him and come to find out that he knew a lot about the Lord. He was raised in a Pentecostal church. knew a lot about the Lord, but he told me this. I asked him about his relationship with God. Well, he knows God. He has this one problem, and that's his mouth. But and I said, well, do you go to church? No, he said, I don't go to church, because he said, every time I go to church, I feel guilty. I don't think preachers should make their people in their congregation feel guilty. And so we had a little discussion, and when I read this, I thought, I didn't bring this passage up. Next time I'm meeting him, I'm sure I'm going to have more conversations with him. I'm going to say, is this, and I told him, I said, are you sure it's not because you're guilty? I think I did tell him, are you sure it's not because you're guilty the reason? I mean, if the preacher's preaching the word and you're feeling guilty, that's not the preacher's fault. That's because you got something in your life that shouldn't be there. And I believe that man had some things in his life, and I think he knew he did. So the easiest way for him to deal with it was just to avoid the light. And this morning, if we're going to avoid the light, we maybe can feel good. When we get in the light and allow the light of Jesus to shine in us, in our hearts, and he reveals things to us, that's wonderful. That's what the light of Jesus does. Point number 7. The light that we absorb affects our relationship with others. And this, this breaks down a little bit from a natural sense. I don't really have a parallel in the natural sense, but maybe we could say that light, when light shines on a mirror, it reflects. And when the light of God, the light of Jesus shines on our hearts, it does affect our relationship with others. And turn back to 1 John chapter 2. John writes here about how this true light affects us. And when I read what John wrote, I think about John was also one of those individuals, I believe, that lived before Jesus. Whether he remembered, I don't know John's age in relation to Jesus, whether he remembered Jesus being born, but he obviously remembered the difference from before Christ and after Christ and what Christ taught. And if you get back to, probably already there, oh, here it is, quickly. If you get back to 1 John chapter 2, he writes this, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is now past, and this true light shineth, and Jesus is now come, and this true light is shining. And if we say that we have Jesus, and that his light is shining in our hearts, and we hate our brother, we're in darkness. The light of Jesus Christ affects our all of life, including our relationship with other people. We live in a world that is full of broken relationships. We live in a world that is full of divorced and remarried people. And many of them will talk about how they have a relationship with Jesus. But according to this verse, if we have broken relationships, it's a good chance it's because we don't have Jesus. Now, everyone, I think most people, including ourselves, when broken relationships happen, we like to blame it on the other person. But I believe that many times, the broken relationships is also a part of our own make mistakes and of not allowing that light of Jesus to affect me properly. And as we allow this light of Jesus to pour into our hearts, our lives will continue to shine. And I thought about what Jesus said. I preached this morning that Jesus is the light of the world, but then Jesus kind of flipped that thing around in Matthew chapter 5, and he says to those who were following him and experiencing the light, he says, ye are the light of the world. So the light that we're absorbing in, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said of his disciples that were following him. Those that he knew had partaken of his light. He says, now let that light, the light of Jesus that shine in our hearts, continue to shine from us, that people looking on can say, there's a child of God. And I believe the results of doing this, it didn't come out in our Sunday school lesson, but we didn't read that verse in Daniel chapter 12. And since I'm new into prophecy. I'll put it that way. But I read this verse. We read this verse the other evening in our devotions, and I didn't have my preacher Bible. I have that in my study, and I went back and I got it so I could underline it. But in Daniel chapter 12, it says this. It talks about at the end of time that there's terrible things going to happen, and these people, the dead, are going to wake out of their sleep. And it says this in Daniel chapter 12. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And I thought, there it is. Those that be wise, those that know Jesus will shine. And then it says, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the fact that those who are dead, those who have lived and have died and have had the light of the Lord Jesus in their hearts, and have led other people to Christ, when we rise again, we will continue to shine and shine. And if we allow that light to shine on our hearts and to penetrate our hearts, someday we will be able to enter that eternal city, the city that hath no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it. Why? Because of the glory of God is going to lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. My brothers and sisters this morning, and young people, don't walk in the darkness. Step out into the light. Let's kneel for prayer.